Thank you, Steve. For our guests this morning, as I mentioned earlier on, our worship series for Advent is titled, And They Shall Call Him. And we're considering what Isaiah calls the child and how it applies to our lives, these titles that Isaiah uses. You might notice from the scripture reading this morning, it separates the titles Wonderful and Counselor. Other versions combine those two together to make it one title, a Wonderful Counselor. In the version that we read last week, that's how we considered what it meant for the Christ child to be our Wonderful Counselor. This week, we're going to talk about what it means for this Christ child to be the mighty God in our lives. And I think that many of us, if not all of us, have moments in our lives where we feel alone and scared. Moments where we feel vulnerable to the world around us. And in that vulnerability, we don't necessarily see the future, and we feel powerless to the situation that we find ourselves in. Advent is the time of the year. It is the season of the year that reminds us that we do not have to live life based upon our own power and our own strength. But rather, we get to live in the power and the strength of the mighty God who has come for us. And that this comes and is evident when we are part of a community. God's community. Years and years ago, my parents used to live in the Grandview area, and as kids, we grew up in this house that had a wonderful little side yard on the north part of the house. And we used to go out there as kids, and we would play baseball, and we would play football. And my brother and I were out one Sunday afternoon throwing the football around, and my parents also had this clothesline set that was these big metal poles. And if you used your imagination, you could see the goalpost going up. And so we would try to kick field goals over the fence and over the clothesline holder, right? You know. And so we're out there, we're throwing the football around, and we started kicking field goals. And I went to line up for one, and I went to kick it, and the grass was just wet enough that I slipped as I kicked the ball. My left hand jammed right into the ground and sprained my wrist, which wasn't too bad. Now, the next day, I went to school, of course, and I had gym class that day. And so we had all dressed out for gym, and we were running out to the field where the coach had sent us out. And I was an underclassman. I was in the seventh grade, and I went to one of those junior highs that had seventh, eighth, and ninth all together. And all of a sudden, I felt myself going down to the ground because some nasty upperclassman decided that I needed to be tripped. So I went down. And I jammed my wrist and broke it, right? Didn't break it on my own, but had a little bit of help. And I was thinking back on moments like these, and I'm always struck by moments like these in our lives. Because you think about it. Why didn't anybody stop to defend me when I was tripped? Peer pressure, right? Why didn't anybody shield me and convince this person, you know, that's not such a good idea to trip the kid that's in front of you? Why didn't anybody rescue me? Be my salvation. Be my deliverer, right? The only person that said anything to me was Coach Lucky. And yes, that was his last name, Lucky, right? And Coach Lucky came up to me and he said, Jim, off to the nurse's office with you. And I went to the nurse's office, they put an air cast on my wrist and called my parents. That's as good as I was going to get in that moment, right? Personally, I think there's no worse feeling in the world than being completely vulnerable to the bad intentions of someone else. And to know it. To realize the consequences of it. Some of you may have had family members or friends who have taken advantage of your generosity. They keep coming to the well over and over. And because you love them and you have concern for them, you keep giving over and over. And they take advantage of you. Others of us, we might have been taken advantage of. We might have been vulnerable to a stranger. We wanted to do a good deed in that moment, and yet they took a little bit of advantage of our generosity. I know someone that picked up a stranger one time. They flagged him down on the corner, and they rolled down the window, and before you know it, the person was in their car. And they asked him for some simple help. You know, it was holiday season. Could you take me down to the grocery store, help me buy a few groceries, and then maybe give me a ride home? Well, $200 worth of groceries later, and a drive from Midtown to North Kansas City, you can see how sometimes a stranger might take advantage of you. My father-in-law had this happen to him Thanksgiving Day. They were headed over to our house, 55th and Main. Guy flags him down, does the same thing, jumps in the car with him, and asks him if he'll give him a ride to Linwood in Maine, and then follow him all the way to Leavenworth and bring him back to the city. Luckily, my son-in-law had gotten into the car with them as well and convinced my father-in-law, that's not a good idea, right? And they made it back safe. But you think about strangers, even, that might take advantage of your generosity, your vulnerability. Some of us might have experienced this in other ways. It might be in business or some other form of arrangement where you found yourselves vulnerable to the schemes of another person. And you might ask yourself simply this question, where was my protector, my defender, my shield, my fortress in the moment? Why didn't someone save me from the intentions of this person, the stranger that I didn't know? Protect me from my vulnerability. I think about Isaiah, who preached to a people of Jerusalem and Judah. It's the time after David's kingdom. They had divided once again and become two separate peoples, Israel to the north and Judah to the south as the southern kingdom. And in this moment, the backdrop of Isaiah is a message to a group of people who live in Judah and in Jerusalem in particular. They're a group of people who are in a constant cycle of threat and destruction. The empirical power du jour of the moment is the Assyrians. The Assyrians, we know, all preceded the Roman Empire by a few hundred years. But they have come and they have decimated the Mediterranean horn, taking all the lands and taking all the kingdoms. The people of Judah and Jerusalem lived under the threat of this invasion. It was a dark time in the land. It was a people who found themselves vulnerable because they didn't have the military power to withhold and withstand the Assyrians. Stress, tension. Could you imagine living in that kind of a land under that kind of stress and tension? Is it any wonder that they are a people who are looking for God, some sign of God's presence and power, a sign of hope? God sends a prophet who simply says to them and announces to them deliverance. A son will be born to you, and the son will demonstrate the power of God, for the son will be the mighty God. The mighty God that David proclaimed in the Psalms as defender, shield, fortress, rock. The mighty God who would deliver this people from darkness and into light. You think about that same mighty God in Jesus Christ, our ultimate understanding, the one who would deliver Judah and Jerusalem from oppression. It's the same mighty God that is active in our lives today. If you think about the message that a child is born to us in this season through the power of God, it is manifest in Jesus of Nazareth for us, the Savior of the world who would come to bring light into our hearts and into our lives. The one who would become vulnerable on our behalf so that we could live in the power and in the strength of God. The one who would show us what it means to trust in God, even when things don't look so good in our lives. Let me ask you a question. What is your relationship with the mighty God that came in Christ Jesus? Is your heart prepared this Advent season? Are you looking for some kind of deliverance? And is your heart prepared for the gift that God wants to give you, the powerful Son, the mighty God? You might ask, how do I know that God wants to give me this gift this season? And that's a really good question. I think about it in these kinds of ways. Often we find ourselves in emotional distress, and the mighty God wants to make His presence known to you through the loved ones that are around you, for you to sense that God is present with you. In the times in which you experience other kinds of distress in your life, whether it's job or financial, the mighty God provides for you through the care of your family and your friends, even that unexpected gift that shows up all of a sudden that meets that need. I think the Almighty God is present in times of physical need for us as well. That God's presence and activity comes in the skilled professionals, but also in others who come to tend to your needs so that you might regain your strength, your healing, and your wholeness. All of this comes through the power of the Son, the one who is the mighty God. And I think if you really want to see that activity in your life, then simply look to the neighbors that are sitting next to you here in the sanctuary. The members of your faith community who demonstrate each and every day the power of God, who bring light and life to the world, even your world. I think about ways in which this happens among us. You know, Meal Train is one of those kinds of things. It's kind of an affiliation that we're part of, but many of us also experience the benefits of it. Margaret and I recently did as we moved into a new house. The number of people who sign up and simply bring a wonderful meal so that in those times where you find yourself in transition, you don't have to worry about cooking or anything like that because somebody has been kind enough to provide you a meal. Church friends, family, who love and care for you and want to provide for you in ways that demonstrate the power of God among us. I think one of the other examples that maybe gets overlooked periodically is our shepherd's ministry. You think about the power of people who go and visit those who cannot attend regularly at St. John's, our shut-ins, the faithful presence of a family of Christians and faith community that would go out, give their companionship, their friendship, their Christian hospitality, just to spend some time making sure these folks still feel connected to this community of faith. I think that demonstrates the compassion of the mighty God in Jesus Christ. I believe that the main reason that we might feel vulnerable physically and spiritually is because of our direct correlation of how we spend time with our community of faith. If we find ourselves on the margins and we want to stay loosely connected, we want to be fringe in this, then we won't experience necessarily the power of God's community, the full love and the grace that God has for us. If we don't deeply invest in a spiritual journey or the communal journey, then we won't experience the depth of God's power and love in our lives. If we don't come as routinely as we are capable of, then we won't experience the depth and the power that God has in mind for us. And thus, because of that, we won't be well known by others, and we won't know others all that well, and we find ourselves on the fringes, and we find ourselves vulnerable because the power has been minimized of God in our lives. I believe the answer is simply this. I think the answer is a deeper connection to Christ community. And in that connection, we will experience the greater depth of the mighty God and the power that God has in mind for our lives. The power of the connection with the Spirit through a community of faith, the power of God's grace through Jesus Christ and the Son that is manifested for every single one of us, and the power of the calling to be this in the world, to take life and light, because we've experienced that very thing ourselves. For God came into the world as a child, born to us so that we might experience God's power to overcome the world, especially in those moments where we are vulnerable. So prepare your hearts this season. Prepare your hearts this season to receive the child, the Christ child, who is the mighty God, who is the living power and presence of God, and who can empower you to live as God intends. So here's your conversation points for today, some things that I want you to remember or hold on to and maybe talk about during your lunchtime or this afternoon. I would remind you that we all experience moments when we maybe are physically or spiritually vulnerable, but we do not have to go through life alone in these moments. For God has sent the Son, who is the mighty God, imbued with the full power of God the Father. The Son can come and meet and exceed all of your needs, can overcome your vulnerabilities. And this can be welcomed. This can be experienced the more and the more deeper you go into a community of faith, because we are the people that God uses for that very purpose. So here's your invitation for today. Think about this. What is your connection to a faith family, a faith community? Where would you rate yourself? Are you kind of a loose affiliation? Or are you deeply connected? Is this your infinity and you find yourself here as often as you can be? I believe that God wants every single one of us to experience the depth of God's power and love that's made known in Jesus Christ, and that comes through an intimate connection with a community of faith. But I'd also invite you to think about this. What is your role in demonstrating the power of the mighty God in the world? What does it mean for you to reach out in concern and service and demonstrate that to others around you? Who are you working with, maybe to draw in, to draw them closer to a community of faith so that they might experience the loving presence of our mighty God? I think that's the calling for every single one of us this day. So I want to invite you now to join me in a time of prayer. As we prepare our hearts for Holy Communion this morning, let us pray. Merciful and gracious God, we thank you for this day that we can gather together as a community of faith, where we as your people might consider what it means for us to find ourselves vulnerable. Power that you have in our lives through an intimate connection with a community of faith to step into the middle of that situation, those moments, that we might experience through them your power of love and grace, your strength to overcome in those circumstances. Help us, O Lord, to draw closer and closer together as a community that we might share in that, not only in your love and your grace, but in our calling to be a powerful presence and witness in this world. And we ask all these things in the name of your Son, who is the mighty God. Amen.